Hello, this is Victoria Vives-Worm with Earth Sky People Radio and Earth Sky People TV. Today we have here again Simon Parks. Simon Parks is a lifelong experiencer of aliens, shadow people, elementals, and UFOs. These include Mantid, Draconis Reptilian, Feline, and many others. Also, he has been elected politician and served a full term of office. He is currently taking a break from politics, but is likely to resume later this year. Hello, Simon. Good to have you here again.
Hi there, Victoria. It's lovely to be back again. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for all the work that you are putting in bringing disclosure and truth and information to the whole world.
Thank you. It's hard work, but we enjoy it.
Yes, I can imagine. My goodness, right now you are really busy for what I understand. You cannot take any more sessions for a while and you are not working in office right now?
It's a combination. I'm booked up for a few weeks ahead, but we did suffer an energetic attack against my website last week. And some of our volunteers have decided that it's too much for them. So we've lost one from America, we lost one from Australia, and we are sort of looking to recruit now. We've had a tremendous offer, something like 25 people have offered them their services. So we've put the website on hold for a combination of got quite busy, and also because we had this attack and we lost some staff. So I do say to people, these things happen, and if we weren't doing any good, we certainly would have been left alone. The very fact that the website got attacked must mean that something good somewhere is happening.
Right. Well, thank you for continuing in this journey. And today we have tons of questions that friends have submitted. So we will get to however many we can. Okay, so let's start with the questions that have been submitted. What really is the sun? Lou Baldwin describes it in his book as a very huge panel with very powerful lights and says that it is a space dock with ET spaceships. He says there is something behind this panel, but doesn't give any other information about it. Could you comment on that?
I didn't, because the internet just cut out a little bit. Did you say the sun?
The sun. Yes.
Yes. Okay. the sun is obviously a dual star. All suns or stars in the multiverse have a twin, and we would call it the dark star or the dark sun. But the sun itself is a very important part of raising consciousness on this planet, because the energy, whether it's radio, electronic or magnetic, however you want to look at it, that is released by the sun as having a very important effect on the speed at which people change. It's not the sole regulator, as other things, but it's sometimes interacted with by alien spacecraft, which can go right up to the sun. We have a view on this planet that the sun is very hot, and you can't go near it. But in actual fact, there are devices that allow you to go near the sun, and energy or frequency tweaking has been done to the sun over the last 5 years to slightly alter the way it emits its energy. So I would say, because that was a very interesting thing you read there, but I would just say that the sun is much more than just a star that heats the planet. It is linked to the rising of consciousness.
Awesome. What are the black holes?
Well, interestingly enough, the black holes are a phenomena that's not something that's going to last forever. In fact, the black holes are collapsing everywhere at the moment. One way to rebalance different dimensions or different elements of a multiverse is to take energy from one end to place it to another. The best way I could describe this is with the human body. If you eat a big dinner, a big lunch, blood is taken from other parts of the body to go around the stomach to help with the digestion process. And in many ways, the universe will create systems that allow it to move energy around from one place to another. A black hole is something that doesn't mean imminent destruction if you go into it. If you went into a black hole, similar to a portal, you can come out the other end, but you would probably be crushed, unlike a portal. So black holes are something that won't be with us forever. They are actually collapsing at the moment. I mean, the scientific point of view is well known, but I would just say that there's an interesting link between shadow beings and portals. Black hole is black because all of the light is absorbed into it. So there's no light reflecting back, hence that's why it's black. Shadow being, when it visits a person, generally doesn't come quite into phase. It's just slightly out of phase, which means any light in the room is absorbed by the shadow being, just like a black hole. And what will happen is that that light will be absorbed into that shadow being. Wherever it's come from, the light would emanate there. So if a shadow being's in the fourth dimension, let's say it's in a room, it comes from that room to somebody's bedroom, any light that is absorbed would then appear in the shadow being's room. Okay, so it's that's why they're black, because they are so dense, they draw all light into them.
What is the deja vu phenomenon?
Could you say that again, please?
Deja vu.
Okay. I think someone's been watching The Matrix. In most cases, I don't accept the normal view. In most cases, I think it is a psychic loop. Sometimes a person has lived another life or lives where you run similar parallels to it. An example of this in the 3D term is that if you set a task to one person, say in the Polynesian Islands, and another task to someone in a westernized country, and ask them to do something practical, both would actually use similar methods to try to achieve that. And with deja vu, if you have had previous lives as an individual with the same soul but a different body, you will actually do things similarly. Although you may have 10, 15, 20 different lives, you are actually the same soul in a different body, so you'll replicate that. Now that's one interesting aspect to it. The other aspect is if we believe in a holographic universe, and occasionally there are glitches in the system where things are repeated, just like on a CD or a DVD, it may skip. Best actually described in the old vinyl records, where the needle goes around, and sometimes if it was a scratch on the vinyl record, the needle would jump up but play the same bit twice. Well, if you are an observer standing on that vinyl record, you would say, oh, you've just played that already. But we would say, well, you've just said that, or that's just happened. So there's more than one aspect on it, because there literally are many aspects to the universe in the way it expresses itself. A psychic person will pick it up. People who are not psychic generally won't just see the deja vu. It just goes over their head.
Who is God?
Who is God?
Yes.
I'm glad to say I don't know. I'm absolutely in no doubt there is a God. Firstly, because I've experienced this energy myself. And secondly, more than one alien creature has said to me that God exists. And I've said before that they don't call God God. They call God the undying creator. And they know as little about God as we do. In other words, it's a mystery to them, and it has to remain a mystery, because the thing that creates life cannot be understood, because it is the ultimate creator of souls and planets and everything else and consciousness. So anything that is striving up the ladder dimensionally to better oneself, to understand that would be perhaps to have knowledge that would be too great to comprehend. So who is God? I don't know, because I make a difference between God of the Bible in the Western language, and God the Creator. So God of the Bible was a reptilian God, the God that led the Jews out of Egypt, the same God, or one of the family members of the God who went to see the Aztecs and teach them about blood sacrifices, the same God that went to the Zulu tribe to teach them their blood sacrifices. But that is not to be confused with the Creator, which is not a reptilian God, but which is a divine creational force. So, yeah, that's my answer.
Did Jesus exist, and was he genuine? Where did he come from? Another star system?
This is very, very hotly debated, and some people can get incredibly wound up and frustrated and angry and vicious about this argument. For some reason, it seems to trigger a great debate. Yes, as far as I'm concerned, the physical body of Jesus existed, and the soul of Jesus existed. The physical body of Jesus was a hybrid, half human, half something else. The soul in there was predominantly a higher human soul, but certainly had some small amount of reptilian in him. And just like most things on this planet, he came under control, one sort or another, and he had to fight his way through it. One of the greatest things for me about Jesus is his teachings, which at the time were misunderstood, and even to this day are totally misunderstood, because the level to which he was speaking had so many variations, so you could understand it on many ways. For instance, he was on his way to some town with his followers, and he met a man sitting at the street who wanted to follow him, and he said, "Oh, Jesus, you know, I want to follow you. I accept you are the Son of God." So Jesus said, "That's good that you accept that. Well, you know, get on the end of the queue." And he said, "Well, my father's just died. You know, my father is dead. He died today. Can I look, bury him, and then I follow you?" And Jesus' reply was, "Let the dead bury the dead." Okay. Now, that's never understood, and it was just seen as a very harsh remark. And the reality is that when your physical body dies, that's the end of your physical body, but the real you has gone somewhere else. So when somebody dies in the Western world, and I know it's in many, many cultures, there's a great mourning and a great sadness for many days. What Jesus was actually saying is, look, you know, the person isn't dead really. They've just gone, they'll reincarnate somewhere else. You are mourning over a dead physical body, which was nothing more than a receptacle to hold the soul, you know. And this is the problem, I think, because Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in a way that went over the heads of most people. So I think most people understood Jesus as a very different person. They never met anybody like him in their lives before. And unfortunately, some of the language he used was too advanced for them. Maybe if he'd come along a few hundred years later, it might have had a difference. So hybridized physical body, higher human soul with some reptilian in him, battling against all the different controls that were being placed there. So yes, as far as I'm concerned, he was real. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were found, just tend to prove that that was correct, because of the Gnostics' teachings. At the edge of the Dead Sea is a large complex of stone or mud brick houses, and I'm convinced that Jesus was actually taught and trained there as a young man in the Gnostic teachings.
About the Bible, is what we are taught in the Bible true or all made up? Is Jesus Christ in the Bible our Savior? And did he die for us so that we can be resurrected and live in heaven if we believe in him?
Okay, I think the key there is if we believe in him. I think it's perfectly acceptable to believe in Jesus, but not to accept all the religion that goes with it. Every religion has a person who comes down to mediate on behalf of the higher deity and to try to connect with humanity, to lead and teach. But this is a question regarding Christianity. The problem for the Western world is that it has largely lost or deliberately got rid of most of its original teachings, and the Bible represents just about the last half-truth that the Western world has about a time long gone. I think what we can say is that by and large there's a lot of truth mixed in with the Bible and a lot of control elements. For instance, the powers that be, the church, took out two chapters from the Bible. There are elements of Enoch that really should be back in the Bible and a couple of others, but because they perhaps refer to more than one God or refer to messages that the established church don't want to put across, they're removed. So for instance, in early Bibles in the Western world, they didn't just say singular God, it referred to gods. And even in the King James version of the Bible, which is the last official version in Great Britain, I think in two places it uses the word gods. And yet, you know, we are taught as Christians that there is only one God. But here was a definite proof that whoever was altering the Bible missed out, forgot to take the S off two of them. So the Bible is truthful in the sense that it contains information. It has been corrupted and altered to present a message. Jesus Christ was a message about self-sacrifice, and sometimes when we wish to achieve something on the planet, then we're required to sacrifice something. That's incredibly reptilian. It's a negative thing, and you have to understand that at that time the reptilian Anu and the Archons were trying to manipulate situations on this planet so that we have ceremony and ritual actually mixed in with some good teachings, because most of the teachings of Jesus were actually very good. It's the symbology around the periphery which causes concern. So don't throw the Bible away. Go through it carefully and try and find those bits that seem truthful to you.
What do aliens think of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony? What types of sound vibration can they appreciate?
In 1939, Dr. Joseph Goebbels, who was Adolf Hitler's propaganda minister, started to change some of the frequencies of notes that were played in music, because he had access to some very, very advanced knowledge, which had actually been held on the planet before and lost, but was rediscovered. And he wanted to carry his propaganda through to the German people, and he was informed that if you used certain frequencies of music, it penetrated into the brain and remained in the brain, and the brain accepted it more readily, and therefore it would accept it as truth. So we've lost the original letter C, and I think the A has been changed. I am currently looking to work with a couple of people to produce some music, literally just to do with the group, so that the different people in different parts of the country can, different parts of the world, I beg your pardon, can hold up a piece of board and say, I'm from this country, and they'll just say hi. And then we can show all around the world, or as many countries as we can, and then we'll put that to music. But the music I want to put that to is the music pre-Dr. Joseph Goebbels' change, because interestingly enough, before America went into the Second World War, the Americans also accepted the same note change that Goebbels had placed. So why was that then? That's interesting, isn't it? This is why when people talk about a one world government, I don't laugh. So I want to produce that. Now, the question is perhaps not quite as deeply rooted as the answer that I've just given you. Music is very important to some alien creatures. Music as we understand it is not comprehensible to them, because they will hear on different frequencies. You see, a planet or a sun can actually create a vibrational rate which you could call music. Well, if you have the technology to enhance that to your own hearing, then you can then make that into music. They might say that the sound of whales and dolphins are music, but they do appreciate certain frequencies, and they appreciate them as a more of a sort of a meditative approach rather than jumping up and down and screaming and shouting. So it's much more of a meditative approach than it is a physical expression of your happiness in music.
Amazing. Okay. So the next question is, what do you think about Dr. Stephen Greer saying that there are no bad aliens and that it's just misinformation and propaganda that was designed to scare us of UFOs and prepare the ground for an interplanetary World War III?
There's some truth in that. I'll take it backwards. The arm of the Western world through Hollywood have been trying to suggest to people that aliens are bad and that the only time they would come here is to invade us. So we have been, as a people on this planet, over the last 50 years, been bombarded with film and television and radio suggesting that aliens, if they came here, would be bad and would invade us. And this is part of an option that they wish, the elite wish to use for a false flag alien invasion. It's something that still could be played out. So I'm taking it backwards now. I think Dr. Stephen Greer would have to answer the thousands of people who have had genuine alien experiences and have had bad experiences at the hands of aliens. It is a problem because it is very easy to come onto a radio show or a conference and say, I had a lovely time with the aliens. It's much harder to stand up there and say you were hurt. So disproportionately, the audiences around the world, for every 10 people who say they had a great experience, there may only be one person who says they had a bad experience, and that gives the wrong impression. I do not understand how Dr. Stephen Greer, with all of his research and all of his experience, can possibly believe the statement he made.
Okay. Somebody asks, I heard Simon say that the reptilians apologized to him for what they did to our race and that they were guilty as hell. If this is the case, how can they keep going in the same direction?
That actually is a very, very good question. And I always try, like Jesus, to answer in a way that people understand. What about a person who takes cocaine and says, I'm as guilty as hell, I take this drug, it makes me really ill, it makes me really bad, I'm bad to my family, I steal, I do this, that and the other. And then they go and do it again. It's because it's a drug. It's because they're hooked on it. And that's exactly what the problem with the reptilians is. If you are king of the castle, can you really let go of being king of the castle and come back down out of the castle and say, we're all equal, we're all should be fair, come in and share my castle. I will share with you what I have. That takes a huge amount of spirituality. That's what's lacking. So yes, they know that they've been bad and they've been evil and they've done really bad things, but they can't yet let go of their history, their life and the way they are. It's an addiction to them. So I hope that's a way that answers that one.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I was wondering myself also. If reptilians have been mixing their DNAs with humans for a very long time, I guess we all have some part of reptilians in us. Therefore, how do you make the distinction between true humans and true reptilians? And as a result, how do you decide which people in position of power should be removed from this position for the benefit of humanity?
Okay, that's a really, really good question. We don't remove people or we shouldn't remove people because they are black, white, reptilian, Syrian, or what have you. We remove them because their attitude is dangerous to the human race. So you could be the most ugly looking bug-eyed monster, but actually if you are supportive of the human race, you should stay in position. So let's just answer the question in the way that the person wanted the answer. We all have, all of us have an element of reptilian in us, and your listeners will know of the R brain. This is the central stem part of the human brain, which controls basic things like breathing. And that is stock root in every human. Over and above that, some humans show more reptilian traits. This is because the genetics have been altered in their body when they were growing. Now, there's a combination of energy genetics, which you can't see, but also physical genetics, which can be seen. Some children are born, babies are born with webbed feet. Some are born with tails. Who's to say the tail is that of a monkey? Why not a tail of a reptilian? So depending on the energies and the genetics, the physical body of the person will or will not be more or less reptilian. But it's what goes into the body that's very important. If you were to put a full reptilian soul into a human body, and that's reasonably common, maybe in the last 5 years, I've probably met 100 people like that. So it's not a lot, but it's more than just the odd one or two. These are, by and large, human bodies, but with full reptilian souls. But that is not your typical reptilian that you would see on YouTube, the example. This is a human form which is projected by a real reptilian alien. And these are the people, and there's very few of them, but these are the people in the highest positions on the land. They're not at all human. So shame for David Icke, because David Icke led the attack here. And he had a great following. And soon as David Icke started talking about reptilians shape-shifting, he lost a lot of support. But the problem was that at that time, there was nobody else backing it up or coming forward with it. So he took the brunt of that. It's a shame, because actually he was right. There are a very small group of real, genuine reptilian aliens who can project a human-like image. Now, those are the ones that we very rarely see. Very rarely see. So, should they be removed? Yes, anybody who is detrimental to development, can't believe in sharing an equal, should not have office or have any position of responsibility. But everybody should be given the chance to change. That's the key.
Please ask Simon to describe his recent contact visits with the Mantid and what goes on during these visits. He talks about his past dealings, but I never heard him talk of his recent experiences. And if the Mantid are passing on useful information to him that we don't know yet.
Yeah, I talk more about my experience as a child for two reasons. One, because people who listen to me who are not awake, who are not spiritual, but are interested. And these are the people that I want to reach, because I want them to do their own research. It's much easier for them to understand the concept of the little boy and the great big alien. And the little boy is, you know, very powerless and does this and does that. And that's a concept that these people actually can link to and understand. The other reason that I haven't talked much about it is because as I grew older, the nature of the contact changed. So it was more about the information that's relevant to the planet and to relevant to the human race. And some of that is information that I frankly wouldn't share with nearly anybody, because it's about things that haven't yet occurred or things that potentially could occur. But the writer has asked for some sort of recent experience that isn't too difficult. I'll give one. I was going through, this is about a few months back, going through quite an energetically draining time. and I just made something to eat and trying to describe to the listeners, come out of my kitchen area and there's a corridor, and I'm walking through the corridor and literally the mantid creature appears. It appears through a portal, doesn't walk through the wall, it just literally appears in front of me through this portal, and it was about 1 meter or 3 feet in imperial sizes away from me. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid at school, when anybody used to jump out and say boo or make me jump, or I used to do it to others, you'd really get them jumping. And I really did shout and jump, not because it was an alien, but because if anything appears from nowhere, 3 feet, 1 meter in front of you. But what's interesting is I remember after my initial huge shock, looking at the creature, and then telepathically, because you know, you that's how you normally would communicate, and saying, "Oh, it's you." Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh my goodness me, you know, it made me terribly frightened, terribly shocked. Oh, it's you. In other words, oh, that's okay, it's you. And this was an interesting, I was collected and taken and had an experience where I saw world leaders literally all sitting in a row and discussing things. And I was allowed to observe that. Another time would be where I was collected and was shown recently arriving people, humans, who had been collected for the first time, walking past an array of minerals, huge minerals, big crystals, maybe 2.5 meters high. And the minerals were emitting through some form of energy input, a big resonance. And I wasn't clear whether they were cleansing the people or whether they were raising their vibrational rate. But whatever they were doing, and then these people were coming out at the other end and being met. So many of the things that I see are related to the human race. Another time with a mantid, seeing a cinema, a movie house, and maybe 30, 40 people, humans, sitting watching a film. And then I see the planet Earth on the film, and suddenly the planet Earth blows up and you see all these chunks of the planet flying everywhere. And this is a psychological message to those people that unless they change and do something, they could lose their planet. So those humans then go back home, they have this traumatic vision of the Earth blowing up, which means that they start to say to their children, you know, don't throw your rubbish on the floor, don't do this, don't do that. And they become much more concerned for life on the planet. So a lot of the recent contact is to do with the now and the future, whereas when I was a child, it was about who I was, what my role was to be, and how I needed to learn to communicate and be part of a big, big family. So it changed as I got older.
Amazing. And just to let you know, sometimes I miss a little bit of your chip in the screen.
Okay.
You want to keep it in mind. Please tell me about delirance.
Okay. Sixth dimensional, in physical form, but have the capability through a very important connection to link to the 12th dimension. These were a very important race in Lemuria, because Atlantis and Lemuria fought wars, or one particular war, because they had different values. The Lyrans are perhaps the purest form of humanity, and they're not warlike. They're great, great, lovely people, very carers, care about people, make good teachers, doctors, nurses. And they are very psychic, but they're not warlike. So they come from the Lyra constellation, and originally they were attacked by a reptilian task force, and their home planet was destroyed, and they split up and went all over the place, and that was the seeding of the human race. So that caused many, many outposts of humanity to be spread out. And that's a very long time ago. And it's very famous, called the Lyra and Reptilian Wars.
What is the overall agenda of Demantid in regards to genetic engineering?
A very interesting question. Someone knows their stuff. Well, it is the reptilians who are the great geneticists, but it is the mantids who have the connection with the Earth. Remember that reptilians were not born on this planet. They have no connection with this planet, so they are very alien, whereas the mantids have a connection, soul connection to the Earth, and therefore have a say in it. That's why the mantids play such an important role. Those of us who really care want humanity to do well. But there is a potential for humanity to destroy itself. And if that was the case, the planet Earth cannot be allowed to be destroyed. If the human race wants to kill itself off, then that's its free will choice. I personally don't believe that will happen, but that is a potential outcome on one timeline. So you'd have to have something to restock the Earth with. You need physical bodies to contain all the souls. If you lost a billion people or 2 billion people, where the overload of those souls, it would be like, you know, turning taps off somewhere and all the water backing up to the system. So if human race, and this is probably the seventh attempt, literally the seventh attempt to get here. Because this is six times before we've destroyed ourselves. That is why there are just the vaguest remains of cities. As well. I think there's a Table Mountain, I get very confused, in South Africa or Australia, that definitely shows a nuclear blast. Very, very old remains that show previous civilizations. This is the seventh time we've been here. That's why, God's name, we mustn't fail, we must be successful. But if we're not, then there is a plan to fill the planet full of hybridized human and alien to take all the souls that will need bodies. But this time, to say the experiment has failed, humans cannot work in this particular location, therefore we have gone to the next stage and advance them to this point where they won't want to kill each other off. So that's the plan if humans fail. I mean, the ideal situation here is that we gain consciousness and then we say, right, we'd like to share the Earth with whoever. And in return for sharing the Earth, please give us the technology to be able to increase food production without harming the Earth. Give us the technology to be able to provide electricity without having to harm the Earth. So if we are going to increase our numbers, how can we increase our ability to look after ourselves in a friendly way? There's lots of potential hope, but that is what the mantids stand ready to do if humanity doesn't do what we expect it to do.
About our nearest star neighbors, as we know from the astronomy, the stars like Alpha Centauri constellations, Barnard's star, or the star system called as WISE, are the closest to our planet Earth. Let's say we would like to travel now to one of them. Which could be the best choice? Do we know if any of these have their own planetary systems, or even if they are occupied by the intelligent life? Based on your wisdom and knowledge, do we know where the neighbors are? Do we consider only the Sirius star system as a potential closest neighbors, or I just wondering if there is any others around?
Okay, it seems a silly question, but actually it's not. There's a big difference between ETs, extraterrestrials, and the creatures that I see. The creatures I see are not extraterrestrials, they're not ETs, and I have to explain for the listeners who don't understand the difference. An extraterrestrial is a creature that comes here in real time. So the tall whites, not to be confused with the Nordics, but the tall whites come here. It takes them, I think it takes them between 19 and 23 years to travel to the planet Earth. So they are true extraterrestrials in the sense that they get in a spacecraft, they power it up, and then under its own power they fly here. And it takes 23 years. But the creatures I see are extra-dimensional entities. These are creatures that live so far away, generally, that it would be impossible to jump in a spacecraft and fly here, because it would take thousands of years. So these ones, the reptilians didn't invent portal technology, the reptilians copied it. So the reptilians utilize portal technology, which means that you could be 100 trillion miles away, but if you step into a portal, you will be here maybe 1.2, 1.3 seconds later. So there's a difference between extraterrestrials and extra-dimensionals. Now, we don't have to go that far, because there are extra-dimensionals living in underground bases in the Earth. There are ETs, in the true word, extraterrestrials here in America. The tall whites are guests of the American military and have been. In Russia, there are fourth-dimensional entities. In the Vatican, there are reptilian entities. In the Pentagon, there are a mixture of reptilian and grey entities. So we don't have to go to the star system, but there are many star systems that have life. And the truth be known, there is what's called the secret space program, where a number of very elite space men and women, mostly men but some women, have indeed been to these places. There are many communities of different creatures within a stone's throw from Earth.
Mm. When will your book be available?
Do you know what? That is the best question ever. I like that question. It's a lovely question. I want it to be available before the 2.5 years are up. I want it to be out. I'd like it to be out next year. That's my deadline, to bring it out for next year. The problem I had with it was that so much has changed in the last 12 months that it needs to be rewritten. Not the chapters relating to the past, but the chapters relating to the present and the future. They need to be changed, because the timelines have subtly moved. And it's a lot more positive now than it was. And also, I think that it needs to be brought up to date. So I've got a target for next year, but I deliberately put the book on hold because I wanted to establish the website. I wanted to establish the Connecting Consciousness group. And I wanted to see if we would have enough decent, caring, truthful, spiritual people on the planet who were prepared to do something for the good of the planet, and I wasn't disappointed. So that is the most important thing for me, and then the book comes afterwards, because in a way the book is more about me, and that's a bit of an ego thing, whereas the website is not about me. The website is about, how do I push this agenda through, how do I connect people up? So I put the book on the back burner until I'd got the momentum going, but yes, I'm aiming for next year.
In the interview with Alfred Lumbermont, Simon mentioned that he can shapeshift. If he could perform the shapeshifting during the interview, I think that would silence all the doubts that people might have about his authenticity, and also provide the rest of the world with a footage that would radically change how people view reality.
No, it wouldn't, because I'm going to give you some examples. The member of staff from the Rothschilds, who, when she was at college, used to shapeshift in front of her college friends. And she told me herself that she would see these her colleagues, and they would just literally stare at her, walk away and shake their heads, and they would convince themselves they'd never seen it. And the next day she would meet them and they wouldn't even mention it. You could put a flying saucer, in the true sense of the word, over every major city of the world and leave it there for 3 days, and then take them away, people would convince themselves they never saw it. If I did do the shape-shifting, people would say, that's a camera glitch, or it's been photoshopped. They wouldn't believe it. And I'm not in the business of trying to prove who or what I am. I make a statement, and I ask people to look into their souls and to say, is this man telling the truth? What do I think? And that's all I've ever asked of people. You know, I wouldn't go on national television and many countries, national radio and all the very good alternative radio shows and video shows like yours and say things because that were wrong, because I've been doing this for 5 years now. And if I was wrong, I'd be caught out. You know, I say to you, you listeners, remember that the British Ministry of Defence, the ministry that is in charge of all the defence of Great Britain, gave me a 3-hour tour of a secret radar base. Now, they obviously believe who I am. They don't have a problem. They don't ask me to prove who I am. The Knights Templars have offered me some very amazing offers, which some of them are quite tempting, I must say. They didn't ask me for that. But I understand the question. I understand the point of it. Because if you go right back to the days of the Bible, which one of your previous viewers or listeners had brought up, God was asked, send me a sign that you are real. And so what God did, I think it was Moses or Jacob, I can't remember, it was the sign of the burning bush. So this bush suddenly burst into flames, and then the voice spoke from the bush. So humans, in the true sense of the word, only believe what they can see, because they can't make the leap of faith. And that's what Jesus wanted people to do. And that's what the prophet Muhammad did, and all the other holy men actually wanted people to make the leap of faith without having it laid down in front of them, because you have to sacrifice your physical understanding, your physical control mechanisms that the system has given you. You sacrifice that to say, I honor this holy person, or I honor the teachings, or I honor my own truth, whatever that is. And you say, I am prepared to believe that because I know it to be true. And when you do that, you free yourself from the constraints that the system has on you. So it's actually a very, very good question that I've been asked, because it allows me to throw it back in a friendly way, reflect it back to the person and say, yes, but do you understand what you're actually asking me? Do you understand that you are repeating the control system? Like, you prove who you are by doing this. And I reply, why?
Thank you. Okay, so I have a very long question here. And okay. If I smile, it's not that I think it's silly. It's just that I'm trying to read it properly. My source says, Star Family races are going to commence disclosure sometime very soon, as it is time. As for a Star Family race community here on the planet, the answer I get is yes. Not for takeover, but to help this world. Something about the sons and daughters of the original Adam and Eve, uplifters coming to the planet to start the community, as they are the only ones with the authority to do so, since this planet is in quarantine. I believe the Mantids now know all about it, since they, as well as many other Star Family races, have been told. Could you please confirm this with your Star Family sources? The Mantids are a very ancient good race. I believe they sought permission to be here on Earth, despite the quarantine, for the sake of studying their rebellion due to a rebellion within their own universe. This permission was granted a very long time ago to the Mantids by the Constellation Fathers. There is a race that used to work with the U.S. government doing experiments on humans for the U.S. government. I call them the Flatheads. They recently quit and left the planet since finding out about the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve coming. Flatheads look very much like us, but they have flat top heads, kind of like Frankenstein. They stand about 5 feet tall, average. I do not know their official name. I was hoping you might be able to find out their real name. And have you ever heard of them? Could you please confirm all of the above?
Wow, well, there's about 10 million questions in there.
I know.
But it's a good question. Right. I do not know the name of the flatheads, but I will say to your listener, they're absolutely right. Although I would put their height, the ones I've seen, are taller. Slightly, I could just correct the person. It's Frankenstein's monster. So the flat-headed creatures look not like Frankenstein, but like the creature that Frankenstein created. So Frankenstein's monster. They predominantly take the role that researchers call as men in black, although I refer to them as enforcement. So many alien men in black are these type of creatures. They are very psychic and quite threatening, but the ones are generally more than 5 foot. Right. The mantids are involved in the ascension process of the Earth because the mantids are psychically connected to the Earth. The race he's talking about are no better than the human race on Earth. So we'll have a slight problem with that, because I don't think anybody should give up their sovereignty if a spaceship lands and some creatures get out and say, we've come to show you the way. I'm very suspicious of that, because we, all of us on this planet, have the way within us if we only access that. What is true about the Adam and Eve, there are a number of males and females on the planet who contain the Adam and Eve energy. Doesn't mean that they are Adam or Eve. It means they can contain a soul fragment or an energy fragment and therefore contain those. Those particular individuals will be leaders in terms of showing the way, not by offering a solution like, say, Hitler did or Stalin or anybody like that, but by basically saying, lead by example. So Jesus said, this is what you really should do. He didn't say, you know, follow me and I will do this, that and the other. He said, follow me in terms of my teachings. So there is truth in the question that's been asked, but there is also this rather dangerous element of the spaceship lands, the saviors get out, we all bow down, we hand over our decision making, or we let these creatures show us. No. We, the human race, have got to say, we elected leaders to decide for us, it went wrong. We need a completely new system to bring forward people who are going to take decisions on our part. We need a completely different system to hold these leaders to account, so that never again will these people wield such corruptive power over us. Now, that isn't going to be achieved by replacing one group of elite with another group of elite. It will only be achieved when we understand that everybody should have a say in the creation of the world. You know, when the Icelandic government threw out its old constitution, it wrote the new constitution on Facebook, so that anybody who had access to Facebook and was an Icelandic national could actually contribute. Mm. The only nation in the world I am aware of that would write its constitution on Facebook. Now, okay, Facebook is probably controlled by the CIA, but the point they were making was, we wanted the ordinary people to say how their government should run. So these are the things we want. So no, I don't really like the idea of somebody popping out of a spaceship saying, don't worry about it, boys, I've got the answer. I'd much rather we all worked it out ourselves.
Yes, I totally agree. Thank you for sharing that. Simon has mentioned several times on why the benevolent beings do not come to humanity's aid. He had stated that we are allowing the malevolence through free will. Hence, it's up to us to regain control of our destiny. However, if the malevolent beings didn't invade our DNA and allowed humanity to grow naturally without interference, our daily lives could have been dramatically different. So my question is, why is it okay for the bad guys to interfere with our free will, DNA, and destiny, but the good guys stand back preaching that they cannot help because we choose this for ourselves.
Simply because the human race, regardless of what corruption has been placed on it or trickery, is not seen through it sufficiently. If you have 100 people in a room and 5 people say this is wrong, how can you go with the minority? Even if the minority are right, if this is a democracy, if the true point of democracy is the majority of people say, no, we're happy the way we are. So what you have to do is you have to form little separate groups. So the 5 people say, we don't want any more part of this. We're going to take ourselves away and we will establish our own community with our own rules and regulations. But you can't do that on this planet. So what's going to happen is the vast majority, that's 51 out of 100, have got to say, we see through the deception. We no longer want this. That's what we call the critical mass. When that happens, then off-world entities can quite genuinely say, the majority of people have turned against the system. We can now come in and support them because we are speaking for the majority. It's very simple, but of course, if you are a person, this planet, as we all are, and we see the injustice, we're looking around for help. This is what I keep saying to people. Stop looking around for help. Look to yourself. How can I do it? And I give an example of how disempowered people are. Whenever you see on YouTube policemen, whichever country, hurting somebody. Now, if it's a criminal, then you still don't want to hurt them. You just want to subdue them and put the handcuffs on them. But if you saw somebody being hurt by the police in a manner that wasn't right, what do they do on planet Earth? Do you know what they do? They take their mobile phones out and film it, because I'm going to put this film on YouTube. That's disempowering. That's the actions of a victim. That shows how they're controlled. If I was out walking in the street and I saw somebody being hurt in a manner that wasn't right by the police, I would actually go in and fight with the police. And I'd be quite happy to stand in front of a judge and say, this is why I did that, because the police officer was acting above the duty that he has. So that's the difference between somebody who is prepared to take their actions and do something with it, as opposed to that which is controlled. So watch these videos, these tutorials. All you do is you see people lifting their mobile phones up, filming it. That's not being clever, that's being disempowered. They are just units of a machine and they don't realize how they've been manipulated. So, you know, we need to understand who we are and what we are, and we need to set time by example.
I want to just let you know that we are now almost up to an hour of recording. So
half an hour to go. Half an hour to go, yeah.
Yes. So just in case you wanted to take a break or anything.
No, I don't break.
Okay, sounds great. What is your level of certainty the DNA upgrade known as transition or ascension will take place? Apart from any personal views here, can you say to what extent this is known by those in power who actually are aware and have access to the knowledge of this event? How far you are in tune with what Tolle is saying on all of this?
Let's go backwards. I haven't met Tolle. I'd like to meet him. I sent a member of my team to his retreat in Hastings in Sussex on the south coast of Great Britain to the weekend there, because it would be interesting and nice. Unfortunately, it went very badly. There was some disruption. And it wasn't an enjoyable event at all. So I can't speak personally. I haven't met him, but obviously my member of staff has, and she fed back to me what she experienced at that meeting. Yes, DNA is already happening. The ascension, and I've used the word, and I say to people, look, I'm as guilty as everybody else. I use the word ascension because that's what the New Age has used and is understood. It's not an ascension. It's a reconnection. So we are not ascending, we're not going upwards, because humans see going upwards as positive and going downwards as negative. But what we're actually doing is drawing down the DNA strands into our bodies and reconnecting the 10 strands of disarticulate DNA. That's what the ascension process is, returning the human body to 12 strands of DNA. Yes, of course, the elite know about it, and that's what my labs are, military and laboratory takes. So when I'm meeting people who come to me for help, many of them are suffering from my lab operations, and the vast majority of these people are well ahead in connecting their DNA strands. These people are like barometers or bellwethers. If the elite military take these people and take samples from them on a regular basis, they will actually see and track how they are changing. And you can then actually extrapolate that information and use a computer program, and you can show how the human race will be changing. And you can predict at what point, on an energy basis, the vast majority of humans will ascend. I'm going to use that word. And so a lot of people who are at the cutting edge of their DNA reconnection are unfortunately being abducted, not by aliens, but by elite military units who have absolutely millions of pounds and millions of dollars, which is stolen from the taxpayer without telling the taxpayer where their money is going, to keep a fleet of black, grey and red helicopters in the air, who then use back-engineered alien technology and rediscovered Tesla technology to abduct people and do experiments on them. So it's a very nasty situation that's occurring, and I'm dealing with maybe 15 to 20 people at the moment who are in the process of undergoing those sort of horrible abductions.
Like many other awakened people, I personally don't believe in religions, but it seems that some characters exist anyway. I would like to know who Lucifer and Satan are. As many people, including Simon and David Icke, talk about Luciferianism and Satanism.
Yes. The Victorian times, the 1850s, 1860s in Britain, really made the devil the creature he is in modern parlance. In fact, a number of advertising companies at the turn of the two centuries ago, between 1900 and 1920, used drawings of the devil in caricature, in fun ways to promote their products. And so the image that we have now and the name we have now really stems from that. And if you think about Father Christmas, the original Father Christmas was never red. We always think of Father Christmas or Santa Claus as the jolly chap in a red trousers and a red cloak. But that actually goes right back to, there's a Coca-Cola. The Coca-Cola company created Father Christmas to sell their Coca-Cola drinks. And that's going to shock a load of your listeners who don't know that. Coca-Cola cans are red. And Father Christmas was usually dressed in white or green, naturally from the Celtic times. And so the Coca-Cola company did him up in red. And from that moment onwards, the big corporations control everything. So Father Christmas is seen as red. You buy a Christmas card, you'll be very lucky to find one with the original Father Christmas who's dressed in a white or a green flowing gown. Every Father Christmas we see is dressed in red. So the devil has been treated in the same way, to carry on an image that the church of today wants, which is the counterbalancing force to God. So if there's a God, there's a devil. If I talk about satanic rituals or satanic rites, I'm referring to a group of people who belong to a club. They belong to the Satan Club, the satanic ritual group. These people believe in the Satan. So the terminology doesn't matter, because mankind will always find a word for its God, whatever side that is. What is of more importance is where these creatures originated from, because the Bible talks about fallen angel Lucifer, being one of the chosen and then being fallen one. If we go right back to the days of the reptilian command on this planet, Anu, Enlil and Enki, and we understand that the two brothers were always fighting with each other, but Anu, the king, the emperor, wanted the two brothers to fight, because as long as the two brothers were fighting, they wouldn't be ganging up against him to dispossess him of his crown. So he encouraged the two boys to always fight. And so one of them is seen as the devil and is always portrayed as the snake in the Adam and Eve story, always portrayed as the devil. He was the one that wasn't part of the royal family. He was a half-brother. It's a long story. We haven't got time for it. So the point is that, like any story, it has been corrupted and changed to suit the people in power at the moment.
Could Simon elaborate on how does exorcism work, if it really does?
Well, it does work. And that's why the church has done a booming trade in exorcism, but doesn't want to do it anymore. You're very hard-pressed in this country anyway, that's Britain, to find a church man or woman who is prepared to do it. I know myself of a case where a priest was called to exorcise a spirit, and the damn thing chased him all the way to his priest house, and he then had to get another priest to come and get the spirit out of his house. It works because the person who is calling forth that spirit is strong enough to command the respect of that individual creature. Think about the Hammer films. Of course, dear old Christopher Lee died last week. Great Hammer horror actor. And of course, he played Saruman in Lord of the Rings. But if you think of a vampire film, the priest holds the cross or the crucifix up and says, get back, and Dracula just laughs at him and it doesn't work. That's because the sign of the cross in itself is nothing. It is the strength and spirit of the person who stands behind the cross that matters. You project yourself. If you are flawed, if you're flawed yourself, how can you expect to have any respect with anyone if you have no respect for yourself? So if you are solid in your own belief and systems, then another entity will have to take hold of that. It's also about bloodline, or it's about spells and incantations. So there are a whole range of tools that a person can use to remove an entity. And it depends on the entity, who called it forth, what its agenda is, how long it's been with that individual, what agreements, if any, exist. And all of these things that have to be understood before you can cast something out. So, yeah, it does work. And it's the most exciting thing I've ever had was casting one out on Skype. And I couldn't video it because obviously it belongs to the person I'm working with. But someone had approached me because they had a possession. And they actually threw up, vomited live on Skype while I was talking to them. So they ejected the demonic entity while I was working with them. Now, that's a first for me, because normally it occurs a day or 2 days after I've done the work. But this was actually live, and that's excellent. So yes, I can assure you it works.
What is the real purpose of the Jade Helm military exercises that will be taking place in the next few months?
Well, they are taking place, and they're actually taking place in Canada. I can't remember, it's something Maple Leaf. The Canadians have now got their own Jade Helm, something Maple Leaf it's called. Yes, commentators have misunderstood Jade Helm. They believe that Jade Helm was to terrify the people. Excuse me, it was nothing to do with that. It wasn't to intimidate the people. That's absolutely not what Jade Helm's about. Jade Helm was a twofold operation, and I have talked about this previously, that some secret meetings at the National Security Council identified that the military were unlikely to shoot on the American citizens, but the police were, because the military are still so connected to the ordinary people that they couldn't shoot them. And there's There's not a boy or not a girl that's not baking cookies for a veteran. So the connection's strong. But the police are so separate from the communities. They have no connection now. So the police will just shoot at anybody in America, generally speaking. It's obviously not everybody's like that, but generally so. But the population of America is, what, 320 million? Something like that, I think. And there are 1 million police officers in America. So there isn't enough police to control it. So you've got to rely on the army. So the object of Jade Helm was to make the military feel separate from the people. You put everyone in military uniform, you roll them through in armored vehicles, and it's to make the military realize they are nothing to do with the people, they're separate. That's the first phase. The second phase of it was through a very advanced holographic software computer, which predicted combat situations and how quickly they could move soldiers from one part of America to another, which American states could be lost if there was a rebellion. And anybody living in California and Texas knows they've had some big operations because I can tell those people that both Texas and California are no-go areas for giving up. In other words, the administration, the military, do not want to lose Texas or California. And they've run it through a computer and they've worked out which states they would lose control of and which they would gain. So that's the real reason for Jade Helm. There's also a possibility, and I haven't said this on any other radio station, and this is news first, so you're going to get it first, that there may be an attempt to orchestrate some form of civil uprising in America somewhere between July and September. So not a real spontaneous demonstration, but one that's orchestrated to try to create a situation where the military go in, and having just practiced Jade Helm, they will probably do it very well. So between July and September of this year. Wow. So watch out for that one.
Does Simon have something to say about George Lucas?
George Lucas? I've only got good things to say about him. Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat, or a reptilian. George Lucas, like many people in the cutting edge of science fiction Hollywood, had the budget and the authority to create truth and science fiction and blend the two together in such a way as it was entertaining. And nobody could criticize or call him a whistleblower because it seemed so fanciful, so impossible, and so much fun that we absorbed images and we absorbed situations without actually realizing that some of that was truth. And this is the great skill of some of these. Another one is Cameron, who did Avatar, where some real staggering truths are so wrapped up beautifully and packaged that we don't accept them as truth. We just accept them as an image, as a picture. Sometimes these very, very powerful film directors are deliberately passing information to us. And other times, you know, and this is the majority of the case, they'll sit round with somebody and that person will say, you know what, we've had a really interesting situation at Area 51. And they'll tell them. And then the director will think, do you know what? I can make a film out of that. Now, whether the agent is deliberately dropping that information because they want that director to make a film, I don't know. But most of the cases, that's how it comes through. And why do they do it? Well, because the film director wants to keep in with the people who really are powerful. You think of 2001, A Space Odyssey, Eyes Wide Shut, and Stanley Kubrick made his films. He did so because he'd been given carte blanche and an unlimited budget to do whatever he wanted, as long as he didn't tell the truth. And Eyes Wide Shut, he decided he'd tell the truth, and as your listeners will know, he died before the film was released. So, you know, it's like the President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. You know, if you go too near to the truth, they'll kill you. So what a lot of these people do is they sail as close to the truth as they can without annoying the beast. So they'll just try and see how much information they can give out before they begin to make anybody angry. And finally, think about Star Trek. That's a wonderful, the original Star Trek. Well, Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, saw a spaceship. He actually saw a flying saucer when he was on a domestic flight in the States, and he looked out of a porthole and he saw an alien spacecraft. Mm-hmm. And that set him on a road to meet contactees, abductees, experiences. He joined a channeling group. You know, people need to understand that these science fiction films don't just arrive by chance. They arrive because the person has got a story to tell us.
Okay. What types of education will we, the people, be most in need of in the AD world, after disclosure world?
I like that. I like that, after disclosure. I might have to use that. That's a really nice way of doing it.
That comes from Richard Dolan. He has a book, it's called After Disclosure.
Well, Richard Dolan probably want a commission off me then if I use that. I've got a lot of time for him, actually. He's done a lot of good work. Mm-hmm. I think it's support. You know, people who don't listen to this radio show, people who don't listen to anything like this, are going to need an awful lot of support, because they're going to feel fools, because they'll think they've been lied to for years and years, and they'll say, how did I not see the truth? Why did I not see what was really happening? And they will feel betrayed, because if you can imagine, your government could do some of the most evil things to your own people, and that suddenly all hits you in the space of one day, then the sort of education they'll need is to understand that that whatever damage has been occurred, and it stops there, and that the human race can't take that with it on its further journey, that was a drawing close, the end of it. So the education immediately will be one of cleansing. I know what the question is asking, really. It's an education in terms of, how do we live without money? How do we live without stocks and bonds? How do we live without the values and ideas that we were brought up with as children? How do we actually reconcile everything that we think is important when actually it's not? So we need to be supported, or we need to support those who are going to have to change their whole paradigm. You know, and I've given this, and I will always say this, and I'll make no apologies for it at all. Why is a person in the bank paid more money than a nurse? You know, a nurse saves people's lives. Bank manager doesn't. Why is the bank manager paid more than a nurse? Because making money is considered in this system more important than saving lives. But I'll go further than this. It's not, actually. It's saving certain types of lives. Because if you are one of the elite, you don't have the ordinary hospital. You have a very elite hospital. So you are not seen by one of the ordinary nurses. You are seen by an elite group. So it makes no difference. You will always be saved if they can. But it's the ordinary people that don't matter to the elite. Mm. They're the ones that are worth less than money. And that is why a bank manager is paid more than money than a nurse, because the people the nurse looks after are not the elite. Therefore, they are worth less than money. And that's a really hard-hitting point. Because if you are elite, you are worth more than money. If you are not elite, you are worth no more than money. So once people begin to understand that we've got the whole value system the wrong way around, then we can go forward. And once that's been sorted out, then we can make rules and regulations that allow us to live in a much more happy way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who will teach us our true history?
Well, I'm doing that. Others are doing that. Mm-hmm. But people have to listen to it, and they have to do their own research. Mm-hmm. So I hopefully, in my own small way, point people in the right direction for them to ask themselves, is this guy telling the truth? How can I go and find out? How can I talk to this guy? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the only one. There are many who've been before me, but most of them have been silenced or derailed or shut up or whatever the case may be. And those who have been quite successful, like David Icke, the media just turn on them and just try to make them out as fools, which actually must mean they're telling the truth. Because if the establishment are trying to stop you, they must be frightened by what you're saying.
Okay. How did it come to be that your soul bloodline is an amalgamation of Hollow Earth human, mantis, and reptilian?
Oh, that's a nice short and sharp question, isn't it? Originally, it wasn't. Originally, it's my belief, and I can't be certain of this because it's a very long time ago, that it was two parts. It was reptilian and hollow earth human. But when a plan was made in terms of the potentiality of the human race to evolve, the mantid element was added, simply to act as a referee between my reptilian part and my human part. Because part of the experiment on this planet is to see if people can get on together. Can a reptilian part live side by side with a human part? Can they coexist? Because if they can, then the blueprint can be made for a much wider community. So originally it was human and reptilian, and the mantid part was added later.
I've been reading the Emerald Tablets of Thoth lately. Is this an accurate telling of history? What type of being was Thoth? Will the last two tablets be released to mankind?
I have a bit of a problem with it, excuse me, because I can't be clear how much of what we are being seen or allowed to see is really what was written there. You know, when we look at the Bible, the book we look at is not the book that was originally written. So when we talk about tablets of any sort, we are talking about very old things that have an Egyptian or an Egyptian energy or a Syrian stroke Orion type energy to them. And would it not be the case that those who rule the planet now would alter the history on those tablets or report a different history because it would suit them better? So I'm very, very cautious of making any comment on that. If I saw the tablets, if I was shown them, then I would be in a much better position to make a comment, but I've never seen them.
And I think this is going to be almost our last question.
All right.
Are personality and capabilities like intelligence or talents connected with the soul or with the body?
Oh, very good question. Excuse me, with the soul, to a great extent. The soul is you, a real person. Imagine this, you played the piano and you were a great pianist, and then your physical body dies and you reincarnate 50 years later as a child. You'll be able to play the piano at 3 years old, because if you can connect with your soul, you will remember that. That's not your brain, because the physical brain is a new body. That isn't the body you had 50 years ago when you played the piano. This is a new child's body, completely new. Yeah. But the soul is the same thing. And I use that deliberately, because when I was looking after John Lennon's father's new children, remember John Lennon's father remarried and he had children, and I won't mention their names because they're very private people. But when I looked after the older boy, who was 5 years old, and he played a Mozart concerto with no music for me. Now, how can a five-year-old child play a Mozart concerto with no music unless his soul remembers it from a previous time? So it is the soul that does it. Now, what can happen is that the brain, if the brain is in connection with the soul and they're working really well together, the brain will interpret that and ensure the body flows. If you speak to a person who's a great player of tennis, they will say that the racket becomes an extension of their arm. In fact, people who play golf, I guess, say it becomes an extension of. That's part of this. It's about you becoming one your energies and your physical side joining together to create one fluid movement. And so it's something that, of course, we're taught in school just isn't possible, but it is possible and we see it every day.
Amazing. Okay, well, I have like 90 more questions, but obviously there is no time for all of this.
Well, maybe one day if you invite me back, we'll do the rest, eh?
Sounds good. Let's do it. Let's do it for sure. And please share your website so that our listeners and viewers can visit.
Okay, the website's a bit limited at the moment because we've had this attack, but very soon it'll be back up running full power. So it's simonparkes.org. So it's simonparkes, P-A-R-K-E-S.org. And once we are back up and running, then it'll be a full running website. And if anybody can offer any help, just maybe an hour a week, bit of admin, I wouldn't say no. Listen, I want to thank you very much indeed, Victoria, for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. You are such a spiritual woman. You're a great attribute to the planet. So I just want to thank you very much.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much and for your time and everything that you are doing. It is an honor to have you here. So I very much appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you everybody for watching and we'll be back with Simon again for sure. Okay, bye. Bye, Simon. Thank you so much. Bye. Oh.